And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama. Alabama, y'all. Alabama. And I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you, if you're listening during the break and you hear ads playing, just know that Right Side Radio, we are actually formed part of a company called Right Side Media. We are a standalone entity unto ourselves. And the way that we support business operations here, much like any others, is we have to have a revenue stream. And part of ours is advertising. So if you listen to this show and you're a Right Side ruffian, like a bunch of you are, if you're a Right Side ruffian and you have a company that sells goods or services, and you are listening to the show thinking, wait a minute, William says he's got tens of thousands of weekly followers on the show. Holy cow, that's a captive audience. Yes, it is. And they might rather buy from another ruffian. If you'd like to advertise on Right Side Radio, we can help you out with it. All you got to do is go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab. Send us a message and Lauren from Right Side will be all over it like a duck on a June bug, like white on rice. She'll be on that phone call before you know it. We'd love to have you on the team. You want to advertise the Right Side? Go to rightsideradio.org. All right. Let me jump on in here to dipper number two. Don't forget, by the way, coming up top of the hour, we'll switch gears and go to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. But for right now, right this very minute, I got to tell you, it's important every once in a while that we stop, we pause, we pay attention, we recognize that sometimes what happens in our own backyard means as much to us, if not more, than what happens in D.C. or some far-flung locale in the geopolitical realm. That means it's time to cook up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. Cook them up. Just cooking them. All right, here's the first story I got for home fries, things you might want to know. So remember, what is it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, United Auto Workers Union tried to organize a union effort and become a union plant at the Mercedes plant down in near Tuscaloosa. Didn't work out well for them. UAW lost with 56% of the vote going against them. Great. I'm for that. I'm absolutely stoked with the idea that the UAW lost that vote. Because I think it'd be one of the worst things that could happen to one of the best things that's happened to Alabama, which is our automotive sector. Our automotive manufacturing sector, our tier 1, 2, and 3 manufacturers and all our suppliers and our route runners and our, you know, our logistics folks, it's an amazing, huge piece of the Alabama economy. It's part of what has caused this state to be named as one of the number one auto manufacturing states in the world, and we are number one, by the way, in America. And the UAW would do nothing but screw that up. Literally, just put a torch to it. And they don't care. They don't give a rat's hind in about whether or not we're already number one without their help. They want to come in and gerrymander, you know, things to the point that we can no longer afford it. Next thing you know, we're losing jobs instead of gaining jobs. Everywhere the UAW has gone, by the way, has been a debacle. A debacle. Well, okay, story on 1819 News. They lost the vote, right? Well, they're already petitioning the National Labor Relations Board, which under Biden has become extremely liberal. They're already, the NLRB, they're already petitioning the NLRB to give them a second bite at the apple. So, United Auto Workers asked the National Labor Relations Board last week for a new union vote. 56% of workers voted against them, but they believed that they were treated unfairly somehow in the process. Really? You bunch of crybabies. A guy named Vincent Vernuccio, who is president of the Institute for the American Worker, said in the Wall Street Journal that the National Labor Relations Board under Biden appointee Lauren McFerrin has potentially given the UAW a backdoor way to overturn the election, disenfranchising the workers who thought they had already made their position clear. Huh. How do they do this? Well, apparently the NLRB under Biden has effectively rewritten federal law by themselves, by executive fiat. Awesome. It says previously if the board found that an employer had committed some kind of an unfair labor practice, that it would require a second vote. But now the partisan NLRB can simply force the employer to have to bargain with the union, period, no matter how many workers voted no. Unions now have more reason, it says, to claim they were cheated, hoping the accusation will stick. Well, right off the bat, UAW says in their complaint against Mercedes that four employees were fired who had supported the union. Sure they were. I guarantee you they didn't do anything wrong. Certainly they weren't fired for cause. Because you got to know, Mercedes is so unsophisticated that they would see the dangers in firing someone because they were pro-union. Please. And they also prevented union employees from campaigning and forced employees to have to watch anti-union videos. Okay. Well, listen. The union had its own campaign rights, and the employer has its own campaign rights. They're allowed to. AL.com has a piece that says that, you know, and AL.com, by the way, is extremely liberal. AL.com was like salivating over the idea of the UAW getting into Alabama because it's more union, you know, news, more liberal news for them. But AL.com says Labor Department filings show that Mercedes-Benz contracted with three consulting firms to help win this month's election. So freaking what? What does that actually mean? They hired three consulting firms. Well, I went to court and I hired an attorney. I opened a business and I hired a marketing consultant. I had a medical need and I went and hired a doctor. You hire people that do the things that you're not expert in because they are the experts and they come in and they help you. Nobody did anything wrong here, but UAW says they did. The consultants brought in at least 11 people for anti-union meetings. Well, they probably brought people in to give the other side of the story. If, in fact, you go union, here's what'll happen. We won't be able to negotiate with you anymore. We won't be able to do these things anymore. We will have to deal with the question of whether non-union employees can be afforded anymore. The consultants were hired for what is known as captive audience meetings, where employees are required to hear anti-union messaging. They can get paid thousands of dollars a day. The tone of the article is ridiculous. What they're trying to do is weave a storyline that says more than what really happened. We'll wait and see, though, with bated breath, what the NLRB is going to do, because under the Biden administration, they have grown extremely more pro-union. So there's that. Next story. Remember Lake and Riley? If you're not, just to jog some of your memories, Lake and Riley was the young lady who, University of Georgia student, I believe she was a nursing student there, who was killed by an illegal alien. This happened, in February, I believe. So this guy from Venezuela, here illegally, caught at the border. They let him go anyway. He went to New York. He linked up with his brother, who was also here illegally. He was detained for local crimes in New York, but it's a sanctuary city, so they released him. He went down to Georgia, and he murdered Lake and Riley. Well, U.S. Senator Katie Britt from Alabama is pushing for the Lake and Riley Act in the U.S. Senate and believes this is going to be necessary to protect innocent Americans from what she calls a similar fate. So it's called the Lake and Riley Act. It was first introduced in the U.S. House by Georgia GOP Rep. Mike Collins, who represents the part of Georgia where Lakin lived when she was killed. It passed in the House with a bipartisan vote, 251 to 170. Remember, the House margin is literally one vote. So it passed 251 to 170. That means it was a decidedly bipartisan vote. So U.S. Senator Katie Britt joined Senator Todd Budd of North Carolina. They introduced matching legislation in the upper chamber. And Chuck Schumer and the Dems in the Senate said, nope, we're not doing that. She's pushing for it, though. And she says, Katie Britt says, the Lake and Riley Act mandates that ICE arrest illegal aliens who commit theft offenses like burglary, theft, larceny, and shoplifting and detain them until they can be removed from the United States. It also ensures that states have standing to sue the federal government in cases where federal officials are refusing to enforce immigration law, like Secretary Mayorkas. It's a bipartisan common sense measure, she says. I agree completely. Let's get it done. That one should not be hard. In fact, that one should have already been done. But, you know, here's the thing. If they pass that into law, it's an open admission that they haven't been following common sense procedures under Biden, who's running for office. Therefore, politics is at play. All right, I got a crazy story that I talked about a year ago. A year ago, yep, and it got crazier. So if you're not familiar, based in Birmingham, Alabama, is Vulcan Materials Company, rock quarries. They're one of the largest producers of all the aggregate necessary for construction, for, you know, for concreting and other things. Anyway, the bottom line is this. Vulcan Materials is an Alabama company. And they have a huge quarry and port in Mexico from which they draw some of their aggregate. And the Mexican government seized it. Dude, what? Yes. And I have to question, if this had happened under the Trump administration, how would it have gone down? Well, in March of last year, and I've got a story here from March of 2023, Vulcan Materials issued a protest when the Mexican government, using police and military, forcibly entered Vulcan's port facility near Playa del Carmen and occupied the property. Dude, what? Yes. So there's literally no grounds for it. The Mexican government just shut down its operation, took over the port, wanted it for themselves, apparently, and has got Vulcan Materials sitting there. I mean, Vulcan Materials is on the S&P 500. They're a big company, and they're an Alabama-based company. And here we are with one of our folks, one of our home folks, sitting there with a Mexican government seizing their facilities and co-opting them for their own use. All right, update. Story on Alabama Daily News, Dateline yesterday. Mexico has offered to buy out the properties for $385 million. But it's what we call a forced buyout. This is almost like an eminent domain proceeding, where they have said, well, here's the thing. We will pay you for this. Vulcan says that substantially undervalues our assets, and we're not doing it. They've got 6,000 acres and a warm water port, and it's valued at $1.9 billion, they say. $1.9 billion asset for an Alabama-based company. And what's the Biden administration doing? I would say next to nothing. Next to nothing. I mean, our congressional delegation from Alabama is all over it. They even went to Mexico City to meet with their foreign secretary. But the bottom line is, we are sitting right now on a situation where they've decided, literally decided, the Mexican government has, that they're going to make this a tourist attraction. They're going to turn the area into a park, of all things. And they want this to be something for themselves that was built with a private company in America worth $1.9 billion, and they want to seize it for about one-seventh of that. Y'all, that's jacked up. And the reality is, I believe under the Trump administration, this thing would have already been pounded into submission. Big Rig, let's take a break right now. I'll come back, and I got a feel-good story to leave you with on home fries. It's really pretty cool. It involves Birmingham Southern. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we are cooking up, and cook me up some right now. Cooking up another batch of home fries. Yeah. Yeah, just smell them cooking. There they are. All right, so here's, to me, this is the feel-good story of the day. I saved this one for the last part of home fries because this is just pretty awesome, to be honest with you. Y'all remember Birmingham Southern College is closing forever. Birmingham Southern, as an entity, is apparently going away officially at the end of this week. May 31st is their deadline. That's the day when Birmingham Southern shutters the doors and windows and shuts things down. There's talk about who's going to buy them out. Right now, we know that Alabama A&M is trying to buy out the campus and create a satellite campus of Alabama A&M out of Huntsville. We'll wait and see. But what we do know is this. Birmingham Southern College is going away. But Birmingham Southern Baseball is not right now. Why? Because they have made it to the Baseball World Series. They're going to be playing past the time their college even exists. How cool is that? So, story here on AL.com, which the only thing AL.com does really well is sports. Birmingham Southern College closed for good, it says, but a team is still playing baseball. It's the feel-good story of the summer in American sports and is gaining more and more attention nationally by the day. The Panthers flew to the Division III Baseball World Series on Wednesday, today. So, basically, here's the deal. They started off the series, and they were the underdog. And they were you know, allegedly like behind the power curve, just in the rankings against their first opponent, Denison University, and they swept that series. They swept it. They advanced with, you know, a pretty good sweep in the super regional series, despite, you know, even a third of the team being sick at the time. Believe it or not, a third of the team at Birmingham Southern got some kind of a norovirus. One of them even had to go to the hospital. They had like 11 players out. It was unbelievable. And even with that many on the sick list, unable to play, they still just wore Denison University out and earned the right to go to the D3 World Series. So they're headed to Eastlake, Ohio. Local Birmingham area business called the Diplomat Deli donated lunches for them today. So they met this morning on campus. They went through batting drills. They did some fine tuning. They got all their gear together. They loaded out. Diplomat Deli donated lunches for everybody. A GoFundMe count has been set up because the school has no money. The school's going away. There's not going to be a comptroller there to write checks. So a GoFundMe account has already raised over $100,000 for Birmingham Southern's baseball team. That is very cool. The money will go to support the team's trip to the World Series, it says, and the money left over will be given to the coaching staff. Other employees have been making plans for the future, but the baseball coaches have had to be stayed solely focused on their team. And they did so, by the way, raising morale of the team. The team was not having a great season. When it was announced that Birmingham Southern was shutting down, their baseball team was running like a 13-10, you know, record at that point. They have since then gone 19-4. I mean, they've been wearing it out. It's almost like they are playing with a good mat. I used to always tell my son when he was a little guy playing soccer, I said, son, you play better when you're mad. Just get on out there and just wear it out. Well, they are apparently playing a good mad, and they've had a documentary crew shadowing them. The documentary crew started off with 4 people in the crew. It's grown to 15. It's like they're having a reality show every time they play or warm up or do anything. Anyway, best of luck to the Birmingham Southern Panthers. You guys go wear it out in the D3 World Series. We're rooting for you. I think this is one of the best stories out there right now, and I look forward to seeing what they do. Yes, indeed. I mean, they are sitting right now on a record of what? 24 and 10 or 24 and 12, something like that. Anyway, bottom line is this. They're in the series, man. They're in the series, and it's kind of weird because they are literally a team without a home. The series starts Friday, the same day their school closes for good. But the Birmingham area has been loving on their folks. And $100,000 raised by GoFundMe and Diplomat Deli, we appreciate you guys stepping up and feeding them lunch. All said and done, we want to see the Birmingham Southern Panthers go out in style. And they've already made a name for themselves. They've won a lot of people over. And I think there's going to be a pretty cool documentary about the team that played on when their school closed down. All right, there's your home fries. Listen, we're going to come right back after this. We're going to have the grand council with my two brethren, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. You know the deal. We ping each other with questions, and then we just kind of wait and see how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But we always love each other when it's done. Yeah. And then we got plenty of text messages here. Howard from Trustful says, the Mexican government takeover of an American company's property or assets is another example of how a weak U.S. president allows the corrupt evil in the world to act as they do with no consequences. They either have something on Biden or he's truly a lame brain or both. Let's go Brandon, he says. Howard from Trustful laying it on thick. All right, more to come. Grand Council. We'll be right back.